All right. Whoops, that's not it. Right there. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58 is it's jam-packed. It's full of a lot of stuff, a lot of truth. I'm going to really just skim the high points. First of all, he says, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. And we talked about this not long ago. God's voice is a voice of a trumpet. It's the sound of many waters. It's the voice of a trumpet. It's a voice that we hear, know, and recognize. And we bow down and we worship. Only this time he says, tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. That's a tough part. I hope that when you come here on Sundays, that you hear the truth of God's word. Amen. And that God's word will convict you. And it will tell you. It's not my words. It's not my words that's going to convict you. But it's God's words that's going to convict you. Yet they seek me daily. Tell my people their transgressions, the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. This doesn't sound like a people of sins. It doesn't. It doesn't sound like a people that's sinful. They take delight in knowing me. They delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness, they did not forsake the ordinances of their God. Yet, they did. Where's the sinfulness? Why have we fasted, they said, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast and that you find pleasure and exploit all your labors. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Let me ask you something. This is about fasting, but it's not just about fasting. It's about worship too. Do you do it to make yourself heard on high? Do you do it to make yourself heard? Do you fast to make yourself heard on high? That's what that's what they were doing. They were fasting to make their self heard on high. And God said, it's not enough. Wait, it's not enough. They were worshiping because it was popular. They were not worshiping in truth. When I come before God, it's more important that I hear from God and less important that he hear from me. It's less important that he know what's on my heart, because he already knows. It's less important that he knows what's in my mind and that he knows what's on my heart. And it's more important that I hear from him, because he knows what's in my heart. He knows what's in my mind, and he knows how to take care of those situations and take care of those problems. Am I doing it to make my voice heard on high? Or do I want to hear his voice? Is this a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul, to bow down his head like a bulrush, to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? He's just saying, you know, you're going through all the right motions. You're going through all the right motions, but your heart is far from me. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring into your house the poor who are cast off? When you see naked, that you cover him, that you do not hide yourself from your own flesh. Listen, there's a lot to say about these two verses right here, and I just want to say this. Our worship should impact the way we live in the world. Amen. Our worship should impact the way we live in this world. We see someone who's hungry, we got to give them something to eat. We see somebody who needs clothes, we got to give them something to clothe. We got to, but it's more, let me say this. It's more than just feeding, and it's more than just clothing. It's more than just bringing in to our house. Now let me go ahead and show you. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. We sang a song a while ago, Shine Your Light. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and I will answer. You shall cry, and I will say, Here am I.
Amen.
Listen. When our lives bring forth the things of God, His light breaks forth and shines with us. His light goes behind us, it goes before us, and is there with us in the middle. His life will guide us and protect us. And He'll say, Here I am, here am I, here am I. And the next two verses really give an explanation of those verses. If you take away the yoke from your midst and the pointing finger and the speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as a new day. Your Lord will guide you continually and satisfy you in drought. The strength in your bones, you shall be watered like a garden and like the spring of water whose waters do not fail. It's more than just your darkness is going to be like the noonday. The light of His face shining on us, we're sharing that light with other people, and that light will shine through us. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, you see, it's more than just hunger. It's a hungry spirit, and it's a hungry soul. You know, we often say something to the effect of, what good have we done if we haven't, if we send somebody away, but we say, go in peace and be hungry, be filled, and we don't give them anything to eat. What good have we done? Let me tell you something else. What good have we done? Just hear me now. What good have we done if we give them something to eat and we don't satisfy their soul? We don't satisfy their soul. It's not either or, it's both and. We've got to satisfy their soul. Your light will break forth. The light will break through. I wonder how many people, their healing would come forth if they would worship God in spirit and in truth. If they would worship God in spirit, if they would worship God in the truth that He calls them to worship Him. He will guide. He will satisfy the afflicted soul. Like in a time of drought, in a time of famine, He'll give them something to eat. He'll strengthen your bones. He'll make you strong. He shall be like a watered garden. Psalm 1:1-4. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Amen. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Whatsoever he doeth, his leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. You'll be like a watered garden. That's what he says here. You'll be like the watered garden and like the spring of water whose waters do not fail. That's what he told the woman at the well. If you knew who I was, you'd be asking me and I'd give you a drink. A drink of water that you would never get thirsty again. Well, he was speaking of the Spirit that would be inside of him, the Spirit that would be springing up inside of him into everlasting life. The Spirit shall be like watered gardens and a spring whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places, and you shall rise up the foundations of many generations, and shall be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the streets to dwell in. Now, these are names for God. He's got capital letters for them. I think this gets into a future. He's a repairer of the breach and the restorer of the streets to dwell in. It gets into the future of the end times and the kingdom that he'll heal. He'll bring together. He'll heal everything and everyone. This Sabbath, it's more than just about fasting, and that's what I said. It's about the worship. Amen. Amen. He talks about the Sabbath. Now, let's talk about the Sabbath for just a second. Well, Brother Keith, we don't really, I mean, the Sabbath isn't really a thing anymore, right? Right? It's one of the Ten Commandments, obviously. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Lord your God is one God. You shall have no other gods before me. We're going to explain that one away. Don't make any idols or any graven images. In fact, and we'll come back to this, but let's just get to it now. Colossians says that covetousness is idolatry, right? So even though we don't have a little graven images, we have our big images of idolatry. We explain that one away? No. How about the words that we use when we talk about Christ? We're going to explain that one away? No. We're talking about remembering the Sabbath day, so we'll just hold off on that one. Honoring your father and mother. Yeah. Don't murder. We want to explain that one away. Don't murder. That's pretty clear. Here's a good one. Don't commit adultery. We want to just explain that one away and say, well, that was for another time. No. How about don't steal? Is that one we want to explain away? Don't steal. I mean, this is mine. If that's yours, and don't steal. How about bearing false witness against your neighbor? How about lying and tearing them up? How about don't covet? Huh? All of those nine other commandments, we keep them intact. Suddenly, when it comes to honoring God's day, we don't keep it intact. Now, I get it, because we changed God's day. the day of the Lord. We changed it from Saturday, which was the Sabbath, Saturday, to Sunday. Let's just read a couple of passages and get an idea of why. Because it never really explicitly says to change the Sabbath day from Saturday to Sunday. But the apostles did it, and we understand that they did it. Chapter 20, verse 7. He says, "Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul was ready to depart. The next day, the first day, Sabbath day. But on that day, he spoke to them and continued his message till midnight." On that day, on the Sabbath day, he continued his message. Not the Sabbath day. On the next day, he continued his message until midnight. 1 Corinthians 16:2. This is about on the first day of the week. Let each one of you lay aside something. This is about collecting the tithes, collecting the offering, and it was to be done on the first day of the week. Well, the first day of the week was when they went to church. Those are just a couple of simple things that showed that they changed the Lord's day from the Sabbath to the first day of the week. Now, first of all, it doesn't really matter when you have the Lord's day, because they're all the Lord's day. But the first day of the week is the day that we have set aside to honor him. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, a holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, and not do your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. You'll honor God on his day. I mean, I don't need to mention everything, right? And I won't. But too many people take the Lord's day and go and find their own pleasure in it. And too many people take the Lord's day. If they don't have anything else to do, they'll attend, right? It ought to be, if you didn't have anything else to do, you'd go do that other thing. But you have something else to do. And it's to honor God on his day. I like that delight. Delight. Then you delight yourself in the Lord. Delight in him. Find pleasure in him. Find pleasure in what he finds pleasure in. And I will cause you to ride high on the hills of the earth and feed with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. He says, if you will do these things, I will cause you to ride high on the hills, and I will feed you with the mouth. I will feed you with the heritage of the Lord, your God. The Lord has spoken. Why do we do the things that we do? Why do we worship the way we worship? Is it to make my voice heard, or is it to make God's voice heard? Is it to honor me, or is it to honor God? You see, we can go through all the right steps, and still our hearts are far from God. Jesus said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." I need to hear from God. Amen. We need to hear from God. Amen. Above all else, we need to hear from God. Stand up with me, if you would.